Thank you, sir. We appreciate DFCU Financial for once again being our sponsor. Thank you, Ryan, and the whole team there. And we thank our first guest, who is, in fact, the keynote speaker for today, this Thursday, March 12th, from the Detroit Economic Club at the beautiful Masonic. He was with us a couple of years ago, and there was a lot going on then that has changed tremendously to the benefit of his company and of the United States of America, if I might add. I'm speaking about the CEO of U.S. Steel, David Burritt. And at that time, David, we were talking about you very much welcoming the people from Nippon Steel to buy into your company or buy your company. And there were a lot of people who didn't understand it, including maybe the president of the United States, who said, oh, we're not selling our steel industry, United States steel industry, to the Japanese. Well, he came around on that, and you are now a part of Nippon Steel. Welcome back, and tell me if it's worked out the way you hoped it would.
Well, yes, it has, Paul, and thank you very much for having me back. It's great to be here in Detroit, where, you know, this is kind of where manufacturing happens across America, and long history there, just like with U.S. Steel and our Pittsburgh base. We have this great commonality, but we're very pleased with the way this thing turned out. And I think some people would say against all odds, you know, you have a situation where you have the President of the United States, President Biden is against the deal, and then President Trump was against the deal. But over time, what we like to say, when the truth gets told, and to President Trump's credit, he listened, and he understood, and he got the message that this is something the workers wanted, and indeed it would strengthen national security, economic security, and, you know, that four-letter word that we can say, jobs, J-O-B-S.
Which you were very concerned about losing if this deal didn't go through. You did not have the financial wherewithal to do the things you've now been able to do with Nippon Steel. Now, the craziest thing is that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you shouldn't be selling U.S. steel to the Chinese. Well, you weren't ever considering that.
No.
And we get along with the Japanese. They're our friends, at least so far. You know, I think what made this so possible as the CEO of U.S. Steel, David Burritt, is you. Because you've said, and I appreciated this about you, that steel isn't just iron and carbon, it's people. That's what you said. That's what you believe. That's what you live and lead the company with. So what is it about our American steelworkers that still impresses you most?
Well, first off, Paul, you're giving me way too much credit.
No, I'm not.
The reason this deal got done was because of our workers and the talented people that believed in the deal with U.S. Steel and Nippon.
And that includes the man at the top.
Well, thank you very much for that. But the workers came forward. They took the time to understand it. Let's face it, when somebody's going to buy an iconic company like U.S. Steel, there's a whole bunch of people that just don't want that to happen. And then when you say, oh, no, the foreigners are coming, that gets scary to people. But once they understood, and you just think about this deal, Paul, the investments that are being made, some $10.8 billion between now and 2028, and then $14 billion overall, that's required. We have to do that because of a national security agreement. While some companies are wondering, how am I going to get the resources for my CapEx? Am I going to be able to spend my capital? Is there going to be a recession? What's the Fed going to do? What's going to happen? Everybody's nervous. We know we have a national security agreement that requires us to get this done, and the financing's already there to make sure that we can make it happen. So this is a fabulous thing that we're involved in. I always tell people, I feel a little bit like the dog that caught the car, because now we have a really good problem to solve. We got a lot of work to do in a short period of time, and making a lot of investments and working so closely with Nippon, who are experts in steel making. They are engineers, and they're bringing us what they call dispatchers, where they're handing us their technology and letting us implement that technology. And And I worked at Caterpillar for many years and been involved in many transformations. But I can tell you this deal with Nippon, I've never been in one that has worked so well and so collegial. It's remarkable how well we've come together. And I think one of the reasons is one of the benefits of this deal taking so long to close, we made some really good friends at Nippon. People that we trust. And so we can have some frank discussions about where we're headed and what we need to do. Let's face it, I'm impatient to get, I'd like to say, can't get to the future fast enough, because when we're building, and by the way, this is our 125th anniversary at U.S. Steel. So in the 250th anniversary of this country. So with our workers, how happy this makes them for not just this generation, but the next generation, the generation after that, because of the amount of money that is being invested by Nippon, believing in them. It's really special.
Well, I'm glad, thrilled that it's worked out just as you told us it would, David. For those people who didn't understand or were even against it, naysayers, it has worked out. We might not have a U.S. Steel. If this did not happen.
Well, we weren't looking to be saved. We would be better. We would still exist. It's just that we would get probably smaller, and we'd realign our footprint differently. But with this investment, we can now invest in things that we really wanted to invest in. Because you know what it is? When you have limited capital, you have to parse out where that money goes, and you have to make sure you make money for your stockholders. That's your fiduciary duty. That's your legal obligation, to make money for the stockholders. And you have limited cash. That means you have limited money to spend. So you don't necessarily spend it where you would like to, because you have that duty that you're held to.
David, before I let you go to the stage where you are the keynote speaker here at the Detroit Economic Club, David Burritt, CEO of U.S. Steel, I got to ask the local question, because here you are in Detroit. What role does the auto industry still play in the story of American steel?
Well, the auto industry is the most important industry for steel, for U.S. Steel. Our most important customers and our base, our largest base, is within the auto industry. And they're tough customers, but that's where we have the advanced high-strength steel. We have the lightweighting. We're building cars that are safer, helping them do their jobs better for their customers. And we couldn't be more privileged to have them as best customers.
You mentioned those couple of things. It does seem that steel has gotten better over the years.
Oh, no doubt about it. If you step back in time, it's not just the steel that's more formable, weldable, more enduring. Of course, it's always been nearly 100% recyclable. What's really special is safety is better, the environment is better, and everything is headed in the right direction, especially with this Nippon Steel deal.
Quick off-the-wall question. Do you think you'll ever be asked by the government to get into munitions?
You know, that's a question. We are U.S. citizens first. Right now, that's not something that we do, but we're here to make sure we remain patriots and will continue to be patriots at U.S.
God,
Steel.
I love that answer. You are so perfect at what you do. Did he come in from Central Casting, or is he really the CEO at U.S. Steel? Is it? He
flattery,
really is?
Flattery will get you everywhere, Paul. You know, okay.
I'll get you my resume. David Burritt, CEO U.S. Steel, I release you to all of these people waiting to hear from you again, and I know they're in for a great conversation with you. Thanks for coming by again.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I enjoyed this.
All right. Thank you. And you got good help there, too. I made the mistake of calling her an administrative assistant, but I didn't know what to call her. What are you called now?
Just say.
Dave's
helper.
Just say the Dave, boss. You know,
she
sets us
boss.
Up and we follow, you know.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. Go break a leg, as we say in show business.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. David Burritt, CEO, U.S. Steel. We're here at the Detroit Economic Club with our relentless positive radio. Paul W. Smith in focus on WJR. Jared, just sharing notes with my photographer friend, because I love photography, and I used to do it a lot, and I'm going to try to get back into it. I'm a big fan of the family that has been running this business for over 100 years. We were there. We broadcast from their home office in Michigan. I'm talking about Ben and Ryan Maybach and the Maybach family controlling Barton Mallow for over 100 years. And the guy in charge, the president and COO, been with the company just 45 years. Just a youngster there. Chuck Binkowski, the president and COO. Chuck, I can't believe you've been there 45 years. How great is that?
Yeah, Paul, I'll tell you, it's still hard for me to hear that. It's been a great run. It's been a great career. And I've been fortunate to be with the MyBox, like you mentioned, for that whole time and to still be doing what I'm doing today.
Well, it's a great company, and you are to be applauded for your work keeping it a great company, certainly Ben and Ryan, too. What are some, would you say, Chuck, some of the big emerging construction markets that Barton Malow is involved in now?
Yeah, so, Paul, when I think about that question, I'm always cautious because we always talk about the uncertainty that is happening in and around us on a constant basis. But I got to tell you, there's multiple markets that are still, producing capital programs and improvements. Just to mention a few, you can't go anywhere without hearing about some of this mission critical facilities that are throughout the country. Surprising one, Barton Malow is a major sports and entertainment builder, and that area, whether it's professional or collegiate, just seems to be on the move, which I don't know if I would have predicted a few years ago that people would be gathering back at large arenas for events, but that is really, really doing well. But I think most recently, I'm not most excited, but another area is the energy sector. Whether it was renewables for a while, but we all know some of the power, where the industry's going, where energy is needed. It's exciting to see some of the opportunities coming up in both renewable and thermal programs.
I'm thinking, going back to sports and entertainment for a moment, to Chuck Binkowski, president and COO of Barton Malow, and they've built many a stadia. Is that the plural, stadia?
Stadii, I believe.
Stadii. I don't think that's right either. But anyway, you build a lot of stadiums. And I don't think anybody would have ever guessed, certainly 45 years ago when you started with the company, maybe 20 years ago, maybe even just 10 years ago, that's where all the money seems to be. There's so much money in sports and entertainment, I'm not surprised. They're building, what's that thing in Las Vegas called? The Sphere.
Yeah.
And then and how much did that cost? That was a lot. And then all the stadiums and all of that. And there's I don't see any end in sight.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very fortunate to be, right in the middle of the Jags right now down in Florida. I mean, I could go through a list of opportunities not only coming but currently. And what really seems to be there, whether it's a new build or, as important, some of the sizes of these retrofits or these upgrades, it's all about that fan experience. It's all about, what can they do to have that fan experience at another level. And it's very competitive, but it's exciting. And again, I don't know how many different venues you've been to. I've been very fortunate to, because you build them, you get to, go to a few.
Sure.
It's always amazing what somebody is coming up with for that fan experience.
Well, it's also amazing, and you and I have discussed this before, Chuck, off air, and that is, as one of the largest employers of trade labor in all of Michigan, you've described to me how these hardworking men and women deliver value to Barton Malow and your projects. And you say that with great pride.
Yeah, I do, Paul. And because we've talked many times, that my first 25 years with Barton Malow was in the trades, in the union. And I pride myself in that opportunity to not only do that with Barton Malow, but to do that here in the city of Detroit, where I do believe some of the best craft men and women come from. And I'm telling you, we build projects across the country, but the way out of here, the way they are trained, the way the work ethic, the, blue-collar approach to everything we do, in a lot of ways, makes them very special. And I see it across the country. And that's, hats off. I got to give credit to a lot of that is probably driven by the automotive industry. I mean, we are the Motor City in a lot of regards. And what, what that training and that approach has done to the building trade. So I'm proud to be part of that. But on a regular basis, they bring that skill, safety, expertise across the board to major programs. I mean, I don't know, last time you drove down the Lodge, Paul, but you see that steel coming out of there at Henry Ford Health there.
Yeah.
That is just – when I see stuff like that and I see the precision and the Destination Grand there I'm speaking of, to see that coming out of the ground, it's I don't care how many more years it is for me, that excites me.
Well, what Bob Riney is doing in leadership there, he spent his entire career there at Henry Ford Health, and this Destination Grand, we are finally going to have a facility for Detroiters and the whole surrounding area to go to where the facility matches the great doctors that we've had for a very long time.
Yes.
And that's important because we still have had people who have, in their minds, believe they had to leave town to go get that kind of service. They will not have to anymore.
Yeah.
Not that they maybe ever had to, but they won't have to anymore, that's for sure. Any projects, Chuck Binkowski, President, COO of Barton Malow, any projects or recent successes that maybe you want to highlight? I know that's kind of a revolving thing, but anything?
Yeah, you know, hey, we mentioned Henry Ford Health. It just a real highlight. We could cover a lot of areas, just in that job in particular. You mentioned there's a lot of firsts out there. There were some firsts through the construction. There's some major steel components that are the first in the country. There's some automation and areas happening there. There's just a lot you can unpack. But, you know, we talk about that a lot. I'll bring a little attention to, we're also performing this Kalamazoo Event Center. You know, it's an ongoing project right now. We have a partner there, the CSM group. We're in a joint venture. But this event center is going to be the new home of Western Michigan hockey.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah.
And basketball. And then I believe the Kalamazoo Wings minor league team plays there. So Paul, I get opportunities to build some really cool stuff.
How much fun is that? Then you get to go and see all the people enjoying the facility.
Yeah.
I bet you get a good seat, too, when you go. You know where the best seat in the house is, don't you?
You get a little inside look into that.
Thanks to you, Chuck, for the great job you're doing. 45 years at Barton Malow, now president and COO. Please give Ben and Ryan Maybach and the family my best. Ryan, I know, is working his fanny off. I hope Ben is taking it kind of easy now.
You know what? I don't know if Ben can take it easy. I just adore that man for everything that he's done. The last year we tipped our hat to 60 years with him being active in the business.
Wow.
And what he did there. And just talked to him earlier today. I know he is down south, hopefully enjoying a little bit of a break recently, but we still talk on a regular basis. Very blessed.
Yeah. Chuck Binkowski, President, COO of a great Detroit business for over 100 years, Barton Malow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Always my pleasure. Keep up the good work. 1228, 760, WJR. And we thank Ryan Goldberg and the team there from DFCU Financial. They do such a great job. Now, meanwhile, speaking of great jobs, Steve Gregorian, who runs this thing and invites us to broadcast, great job. Jan, who must run the Masonic, always is so helpful to us when we arrive here to do a broadcast. Listen to this little bit of story. You can't hide from anything anymore. There's a camera. There's apparently viral video out showing former President Bill Clinton nudging his wife, former First Lady, Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton. He's nudging her toward a busy New York City intersection crosswalk, prompting her to pull back and protest, raising her hands and saying, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. He replied with a grin, oh, I guess that's not a good idea.
Oh, sorry, Hillary.
Sorry, Hillary. I thought you could cross the street. I really wasn't pushing you in front of ongoing traffic. I really wasn't.
Maybe it's a weird game they play, or maybe Bill's just losing his marbles. I don't know.
A little game of chicken with the traffic in Manhattan. Having lived there for 5 years, you don't want to get involved in chicken with traffic in Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to fuel a lot of speculation and even more conspiracy theories now.
Yep. All right. Rocky Rajkowski, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, is here. As the FBI warns of Iranian drone attacks on California. Now, I kind of wish the president would stop saying, oh, this thing's over. This thing's almost over. I mean, they have no Navy. They have no nothing. And then the next day we wake up and they've bombed ships and they've done a lot of damage in other countries. You know, there's a time when I think the president needs to actually stop talking. I'm not sure, Rocky, if you agree with me on that or not. Nice to have you on board.
Hi, great to be on with you, Paul W. And, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I don't always pay attention to what people say, but I look what they do. And his actions in Iran, I actually agree with. I know that there's only 40% of the country that agrees with us on this, but there's a lot of reasons why this attack on Iran was warranted. And I keep telling people when I'm on TV or radio or wherever else I'm at, that we've been at war with Iran for 47 years. And I've had a personal friend that I've even talked with Mike Parsons about that was taken out and killed by, executed actually, by the IRGC, who was a soldier friend of mine that served in the same unit as I.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I am also sorry to see that Iran, which we've been at war with, but I think we underestimated their ability. I think because we now telegraph when we're going to war or attacking, because we now let people know weeks in advance, they do what anybody would do that isn't completely stupid, and they're apparently not completely stupid. They hide, they bury, they put missiles and drones in areas where it's a one-off. So when they send it off and then we destroy that area, it doesn't do anything. They've already shot off the missile or the drone from there. And so now we didn't apparently also think of preparing our companies for the cyber attacks. Look at in Kalamazoo, for goodness sakes, Stryker is saying they've been hit by an Iranian cyber attack. I mean, Rocky, this is worrying me.
Well, it shouldn't. And you know, you talk about how we signal how we're going to war or how we're going to attack. It's really hard to kind of send three aircraft carrier strike groups to an area and say, oh, we're not at war and we're not going to strike you. When you see three carrier strike groups and 40,000 troops come at you, there's going to be some type of activity. And the Stryker, the Michigan company here at Stryker, one of the largest medical suppliers of medical goods, durable medical equipment, has been hit by, as we know now, Habdallah, which is a organization that is very involved with Iranian military intelligence. But I don't think we've underestimated them for a long time. Our government has been telling businesses, and if you work with the federal government, you have to be something called CMMC compliant. You have to be compliant and make sure that you go through specific protocols. And one of those protocols is that you have double-layered authentication of whenever you're working on your email. And this is a brand-new type of asymmetric warfare that our Pentagon is ready for, but I'm not sure our enterprises are. With ransomware, with everything else that's going on, Russia, China, and Iran have been attacking our networks, and not just our businesses, but our government networks for a long, long time. And that's why our military and other parts of the government, especially parts that deal with water and other things, deal on what's called a CIPRnet, a secret internet that is not connected to the World Wide Web. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really upset that under the Obama administration, they released the control of the internet to the world. Instead of that control was always the United States. The United States, many people may not know this, but it was our DOD, not Al Gore, but our DOD that created the internet.
Well, son of a gun, I thought it was Al Gore. But anyway,
I know.
This is coming around and it's hard for Americans to take. The first report of the first hit, basically, was of a quote-unquote girl school, which I didn't believe because there aren't girl schools in Iran. Girls aren't allowed to be educated. Girls aren't allowed to go out and wear whatever clothing they want. Girls or women are not allowed to vote or drive or any number of things with these people in charge, which is why I can't understand why the Squad and AOC, America Off Course, and her gang aren't out there fighting on behalf of the women of Iran. But now the Pentagon is saying it was outdated data for where that school was. Now, here's what's not outdated. We know that school was stuck on purpose in the middle of four or five legitimate targets. I wonder why the news media is not mentioning that.
Yeah, the, you know what, Paul W., this is something that really hits close to my heart, because when I was overseas, I was involved in an incident that it's something that you carry on for the rest of your life, that, you know, when children die in an issue of collateral, what they call collateral damage. And it's one of those issues that we really need to take a step back and re-examine. And I have a friend that always tells me to check twice and cut once. And sometimes the military, and we make mistakes in that fog of war, and that was one of those mistakes that, that should have never happened. But on the positive side, the United States is one of those countries that always pays for those collateral damage or those things that were not intended in war. And the president actually came out yesterday and said to be Ducey of Fox News, he said that we will take responsibility for it. And when the United States takes responsibility for it, that means we will pay for those damages.
Well, and for those who argue, well, you can't pay for lives, let me tell you something. The United States does not aim for civilians.
We don't.
We just don't. We do not. We can prove it. Even the people who hate us can prove it, or at least admit it, because we don't aim for civilians. Iran is scattering it toward civilians all around their part of the world.
Paul W., I can officially tell you, in my 27 years of service and all the friends that I've met that were older veterans and younger, and men and women that are serving today, we have never aimed at an innocent individual. Never. Never aimed with intent. And when we do, those individuals are tried as war criminals.
But as you've pointed out, and we'll end with, in war, there's collateral damage. In war, there are mistakes made. In war, there are accidents that happen. And this looks like one of those big ones. But that's
on a brighter note, Paul W., I'm not sure if you've seen this. Iran has been boasting that has actually destroyed hundreds of U.S. and Israeli missiles and rockets with their buildings and military installations. And I'm not sure if that's even true.
Well, there's not a lot to be happy about right now. And I kind of wish the president would pull back a little bit on, well, they don't have anything left, because then the next day we hear of things that they've done still. And it, I think it makes us look bad to pretend that they're not putting up one hell of a fight, because they are. It's sad, and no one else is also pointing out, that it's because the last two presidents gave billions of dollars to Iran. We now know where they spent that money, don't we?
I hate to say this, but not just the last two presidents. For the last 47 years, from Reagan, I give Reagan a pass, to Trump, we have had administration after administration just kicking the can down the road.
Well, but did they all give billions of dollars to Iran,
no,
like Biden
and
Obama did?
That was Obama, and I hope you have Alyssa Slotkin on to explain that, because Alyssa Slotkin was actually involved in that.
That's a good idea. I'm not sure Alyssa will come on
to talk about that. Yeah,
I don't think so either.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
Rocky Rechkowski, God bless you. Retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army. Here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR at 1244. Okay, we have a breaking news story. Breaking news in the West Bloomfield area. And to tell us about it, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, Marie Osborne. Marie.
And good afternoon, Paul. We are getting word that there is an active shooter situation in West Bloomfield at Temple Israel in West Bloomfield. Local law enforcement agencies are responding to a report of an active shooter there. An alert has been sent out by the Farmington Hills Police Department indicating an active shooter in that area. West Bloomfield police are also confirming that. All schools and houses of worship are advised to shelter in place at this area where Temple Israel is located. And I just happened to have been on the phone with someone when they heard sirens in the area. And she said to me, yes, I think this is in response to I was calling her to see if she had any information on this incident. This Temple Israel, of course, is one of the oldest temples in the area. It's on Walnut Lake Road, just south of, in fact, of Walnut Lake Road, and it is east of Drake Road. So again, people are being asked to please avoid that area. We don't have much information right now, except, Paul, that people in that area say that they saw a massive, massive police response to this area. So again, we're asked to stay clear of the Temple Israel in West Bloomfield, where police say there is an active shooter at this time.
Yeah, and I'm getting messages from listeners and friends that are suggesting that they have children in that area, in schools, maybe just down the road from Temple Israel, and they're asking me what information we can get. And I suggested to stay tuned because Marie Osborne is on the story, and you're giving all the information that is available at this time. We obviously have calls out to Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard, but they're in the middle of this, so it's unlikely they're going to be able to pick up the phone and give us any more information. But as soon as information is available, Marie will have it on the air, or we will have it on the air, and pass it along. But to sum it up again, as you've said, Temple Israel, West Bloomfield, the report of shots fired.
Right. An active shooter situation is what this is being called. It's and of course, the temple is on Walled Lake Road near Drake Road. I know you mentioned someone who has children at a school in that area. We are being told that everyone, houses of worship and schools in that area, are advised to shelter in place. I can imagine that if that child or the person who was texting you has a child in school in that area, that in fact they would be on a lockdown protocol right now. So we can hope that the schools are handling that the way they have been trained to do. But right now we have no other information other than this was a massive police response by people who have reported to our producer, Laura Hessen, as well as to someone I was speaking to on the phone at the time that this was unfolding. This message here is from the West Bloomfield Police that they have again confirmed an active shooter. We are aware of an active security incident at Temple Israel. Law enforcement are responding. Our Jewish agencies are currently in a precautionary lockdown. We ask community members to stay away from that area at this time.
It's a tough thing to tell a parent to not go rushing to help your child, but that would not be the right thing right now. They don't need congestion and trouble like that. Everyone's been told within that area to shelter in place. There's a massive police presence. Let's let the police do their job. Marie, thank you. We'll be listening for further updates.
Yeah, we'll be bringing you the very latest as soon as we get it, Paul.
Breaking news from West Bloomfield, an active shooter reported at Temple Israel. Everyone to shelter in place. As hard as it is, please don't rush to the area. Stay tuned. We'll have further updates here on WJR. As we went to news nationwide, locally, we have breaking news. The report we now have is that a car crashed into a Jewish synagogue in West Bloomfield, and shots were fired after the crash. This from police. Oakland County deputies confirm there's a, quote, active situation at the Temple Israel, 5725 Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield Township, near the intersection of Walnut Lake and Drake Roads, which is exactly what Marie Osborne told us. There is a active police situation, and she is bringing us, and will throughout this hour, any of the other latest and breaking news. As you might imagine, we have calls out to Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard, but he's in the middle of it right now. We will give you more information as it becomes available. And Marie, we appreciate you being on top of the story and bringing us whatever new news that you have, including anything else you might have regarding the apparently the initial car crash into the synagogue. And I was just mentioning to the guys, because we have lots of friends and family in that area, some that work at synagogues, some families that have kids going to school down the road and all of that. I would think and hope, sadly, the way things are today, that most synagogues would be fortified so that if somebody crashes into, quote unquote, the synagogue, they can't actually crash into the synagogue. But I'm not sure that's the case here.
Well, yeah, we don't know what their particular, if they had any pylons on the property or
right.
extra security, we don't know that. In this case, again, this little bit of information about this car crashing into the synagogue is new within the last 10 minutes or so. Again, this is at Temple Israel on Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield Township. It just so happens that Dave Rieger's mother works at B'nai Moshe in West Bloomfield. I might not be saying that completely correctly, but she works at that synagogue, and she tells Dave that they are on lockdown right now.
Yeah, they can't even go out. So,
yeah,
This is what you had reported earlier. We'll say it again. All of the schools, all of the synagogues, everybody in that area is on lockdown. The police are requesting people not rush to the area, which as a parent, it must be very difficult not to do that, but they're asking you not to do that. And please, folks, as hard as that is, at least know that there is a huge police presence there. And at this point, if you go rushing there, you're just kind of in the way and maybe causing them not to be able to do their job. So I know that's not what you want.
No, absolutely. And just be aware that the schools are on lockdown so that at least we hope the students are on protocol and they're going to know what they have to do. Now, Temple Israel, on their website, they say they're unlike any other synagogue in the world. They make up 1% of all Reformed Jews in North America. They make up 1% of all Reformed Jews in America. So this is a very active synagogue. We want to tell you that. They've got a bunch of events that happen here every single day, every single weekend. This is a very active congregation. They have more than 1,500 people that are congregants at this particular temple. And we're still trying to get information about whether or not this is an active shooter, whether the shooter has been apprehended or not. We don't have that information right now, and we're waiting for that. Again, this is on
right.
Temple Israel on Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield. This is near Drake Road, by the way.
Near the intersection of Walnut Lake and Drake Roads. And at that time, when this first report came out just ahead of 1 o'clock, it was called an active situation. Now, we happen to have Dave Rieger here. You quoted the fact that his mother, working at another temple, is on lockdown like everyone else. But you said, you gave us a statistic that doesn't mean a lot to many of us, that 1% of the country's Reformed Jews belong to this synagogue. And so I'm asking David Rieger, what exactly at Temple Israel are they saying? When it's what does it mean, Reformed Jews?
They're so different levels, I guess, of Judaism, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox. And so they're Reform, and they are a very, very popular temple. They have a lot of people that belong there. Their congregation is very large. Temple Israel.
1,500 people, it says.
Yeah, one of the most popular Reform temples around. Temple Israel is very, very popular. My mom works at a conservative synagogue, B'nai Moshe, in West Bloomfield on Drake Road, and she is on lockdown right now. Nobody comes in. Nobody can go out. And that's where she works. And she's like, I called her. She's fine. But they're on lockdown.
I wonder, are the kids still allowed their cell phones? Do you have any idea? I guess nobody has
any
idea.
No, that's not until the fall.
Oh, so they should have their cell phones. So parents
probably do.
Have been reaching out to the kids. And the
unless
kids reaching
school
out
has
to the
a different
parents.
Policy. Yeah, unless the school has a different policy. But again, it's still active. It's an active situation. We're looking at photographs now from that area and seeing many, many police cars in that area. And we had reports of just dozens upon dozens of police vehicles going up Drake Road, going up Telegraph Road, trying to get to this location. We first heard about this just about 25 minutes ago that we got first word of this, or that we were hearing something about this. So again, it all started with a car running into the synagogue. Why that happened, how it happened, we don't know, but shots were fired after that happened.
You know, there's also another Reformed temple that is not even a half a mile away from Temple Israel, which is Temple Kol Ami, which is right on Walnut Lake Road also. And then down the road from there, Temple Shir Shalom, Orchard Lake, and Walnut Lake. So there are three Reformed temples very close to each other.
I'm being told by someone who belongs to this temple and knows the ones around the area because of his own children. I don't want to say who this is, but I'm told that he did report that that they have reports that someone drove a car through the Temple Israel and started shooting. And also, to my question of the cell phones, middle school and elementary schools don't allow the kids to have the phones. They need to stay in their lockers because this person tried to text their child and was not able to make a connection. So that makes it more frustrating. It's also why I'm against the idea of kids not being able to have phones in school, which, of course, makes it easier for the teachers. But the fact of the matter is, if teachers say you shouldn't use your phone in a classroom, that should be enough, and that's that. But in an emergency like this, this is why you want them to be able to have their phones. Sorry, it's the way I've always felt. It's what I've always said, and I'm going to stick by that. It's a terrible thing right now that parents are not able to communicate with their own children, who in a safe environment should be able to text the parents, not drawing any attention, not causing any trouble, but putting their parents at ease at the moment. Get off my soapbox, and we will continue with updates from Marie Osborne, from the Oakland County Sheriff Department, and every other place we can get information to pass it along to you as it happens. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. We have so many good friends to this program, and they're calling in and texting in, giving us information, including the great Jason Rasnick, who founded Benzinga, and you remember his son, what a great reporter his son makes and all of that, and his sister sending him a video, which he sent me, with all of the police activity and everything going on there. I must just tell everyone that everyone who's sending us information, we greatly appreciate it. But because this is WJR and a great radio station, we need to get these things backed up. We can't just go on one report. There's always got to be two reports. So Marie Osborne, a lot of information's coming in. I know you go through the same checking process. The lockdown, we know, is still in place, but there are people who say that the shooter has been taken out. We do not know that. We have no idea. We can't make those statements until they've been corroborated by other law enforcement people. So I appreciate all the people who are sending us helpful information, but don't be upset that we're not passing it along, because I'm sure you want us to make sure everything we say on the radio here is right. Not every radio station does that, but we do at WJR. What is the latest that you have confirmed, Marie Osborne?
Okay, and I'm getting some information from one of our sources, and it is confirmed by one of our producers here at WJR, that this is still an active scene, that the shooter is still active, and that he is in the building. So I don't know any more than that, other than that, that is being passed along to me by one of our producers from someone who is on the scene. So that is what we have right now. Again, this is at Temple Israel on Walnut Lake Road. Again, we were talking earlier. This is a congregation, a very active, vibrant congregation of about 1,500 members. They make up 1% of all Reformed Jews in North America. What we know is that a vehicle crashed into the temple, into the synagogue itself, earlier today, and then it caught fire, and the smoke from the scene that we people are seeing is from the car fire. We don't have any reports of injuries. We don't know that area schools are on a lockdown. Area synagogues are on a lockdown, as we have confirmed with, in fact, our very own Dave Rieger, whose mom works nearby at another synagogue. So that's what we know right now, Paul.
All right, and we appreciate it. Marie will be coming back on in minutes before each one of our segments, as we are broadcasting here from the Detroit Economic Club, and we thank certainly Steve Gregorian and Jan. I saw Jan. There she is. Jan is here, who always helps us when we come to the Masonic. Scheduled to be with us in a few minutes, Stephen Polk, the president and CEO of Highgate. You recall Stephen and his lovely wife, Bobby, opened the Polk Penguin Conservation Center after donating millions of dollars to the Detroit Zoo. See, you're going to always be remembered for that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I understand it might get a little tiresome when people always talk to you about penguins. But it's good. It's a good thing. All right. When more information becomes available, we will have it for you. If you're a parent, at least rest assured that we've got someone like Michael Bouchard, the West Bloomfield police, and others who know what they're doing and are on the scene and doing what they do best under terrible circumstances and situations. We will give you more information as it becomes available. The president and lead analyst at Sankey Research, Paul Sankey, is here. The International Energy Agency releasing a record 400 million barrels of oil as Iran threatens $200 a barrel. And I guess what, from where you stand, Paul Sankey, how are things going? Nice to have you on board here.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate hearing about the penguin colony because it's good to have some good news.
We needed a little break. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure we did. Well, you know, the situation, as you know, is bad and it's somewhat out of control. So obviously the Straits of Hormuz has to be open, and it's not happening. And it's pretty much the long and short of it. There's some encouraging, very encouraging words from the Chinese. So we're watching the Chinese closely. Because we believe they have a better connection to the Iranians at this point. And they've said some very conciliatory things, a very anti-military activity by the Iranians. And so I'm happy to see that this morning. Having said that, as you know, the attacks are continuing around the Straits of Hormuz. You know, there's real shock in Dubai. There's real shock in Qatar about the fact that these attacks, particularly in Dubai, continue. And so the Straits unfortunately remain shut, and as you know, this is an enormous conduit for a lot of energy, a lot of gas. One thing that we're focusing on that people aren't talking about is helium. You need the helium from Qatar to make the chips in Taiwan. So there's numerous angles to this which are all very concerning.
Yeah, I never heard that before, ever, that we were also worried about a shortage of helium to make the chips. That's I'm so glad you brought that up, Paul Sankey, president, lead analyst at Sankey Research. There's a lot going on here that obviously should and does concern us. And when we keep hearing that we have so dominated the war, they still are obviously very able to cause a lot of trouble in the world.
Yeah, and that's the concern. And also, of course, the very modern nature of warfare with these horrible drones that, you know, are so cheap and so abundant and are, you know, really weapons of terror. And of course, you then have submarine drones. So, you know, there's a huge concern. We saw last week a liquid blown up and using from illegal.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up and we're not understanding anything you're saying. And I'm not sure if we can hang up and reconnect.
Hi, I beg your pardon. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, let's just say that, yeah, helium is a problem, and we're worried about the nature of modern warfare with the drones because they're so hard to oppose.
Well, you know what it also teaches us? A horrible lesson, and that is we spent billions of dollars on weaponry, and they're taking us out with $100 drones. Yeah, this is changing the face of war, and you know, we did have two presidents that gave them billions of dollars, and this is where they've used the money, unfortunately. And they seem to have an endless supply. I know they don't, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah, thank you. That's pretty much what I was saying when I broke up there. So
Oh, exactly good. That. All right.
You know, and okay. What I was also talking about is these dreadful submarine drones, which, you know, can attack from the water. And the point I was making is that last week we saw an LNG tanker, huge liquid natural gas tanker, get blown up and sunk. Actually by a submarine drone sent by the Ukrainians. It was a Russian cargo, but they sent this drone from Libya. And so the Mediterranean has become dangerous. So it's unfortunately pretty terrifying. And as we call it, asymmetric opposition. As you say, you have the biggest military in the world, but it's very hard to fight the terrorists. Unfortunately, it's a tough situation.
Well put, Paul. Thank you for joining us. It's a challenging day for us locally as well. Paul Sankey, president, lead analyst, Sankey Research, and we're keeping track, and Marie will come back with an update. We're beginning alerts from the West Bloomfield Police, the Farmington Hills Police, the Oakland County Sheriff's Department. You know by now, Temple Israel basically attacked by a car that crashed into the temple, front doors, we think, and then the person or persons in the car started shooting. So we're getting as much information as we can. Everyone is asked to avoid the area. That's got to be tough as a parent, but that's what they're asking you to do. And we'll continue with updates with Marie Osborne in just a moment, as we also continue Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. All right. It is 1:33. We are bringing you information as we can. It is a balance that we are trying to maintain, where we're getting, I will say, we're getting good, positive information. We cannot report it until we get it verified. The last thing we want to do is give you disinformation. I have pictures now from friends sending them. West Bloomfield Police, Farmington Hills Police, Oakland County Sheriff's Department, the Michigan State Police. You couldn't ask for a bigger, better, faster response than the one that this apparently has gotten in West Bloomfield at Temple Israel. And we are, before each segment, checking in with Marie Osborne, because she's at News Central for WJR, and she's only reporting information that has been double verified. Marie?
Yes, and what we've learned a little further at this point is that it appears this had been a truck that crashed into the Jewish synagogue in West Bloomfield. We're talking about the Temple Israel in West Bloomfield on Drake Road. This is near Drake Road. It's on Walnut Lake Road. This caused a fire when this crashed, and that shots were fired shortly after that. We have been told that security was on the scene. This would be synagogue security was on the scene. We don't know much more than were they able to react to the situation as it happened, or how did they react? We do know that security was on the scene. We also have learned that there's a preschool in this synagogue as well. We don't know if it was in session or not. We have not confirmed that yet, but this is a very, very active congregation, 1,500 people in this congregation. They have all sorts of events, all sorts of activities here. It's a very, very busy place. All area schools and synagogues in the area are on lockdown. There is a massive police presence right now in that area, and we are making our very best effort to try to get someone of authority to give us more information. And that's what we're working on right now, Paul.
As soon as we get it, no matter what we're doing on the air, we will get that on. In the meantime, we are not going to repeat things that are being sent to us until they can be second party verified. It's just the way it is. It's the best way to handle something like this. And we are praying. As many parents are, and that's a good thing. But the news we're getting so far, I can only tell you, has been good news.
And we've been reaching out to a lot of folks who are, you know, on the inside, who are responding, both from a law enforcement perspective and other types of aid, and they just don't have any information to confirm with us right now.
We'd love to pass along
yes.
the information we're getting, but we're not going to pass along any information that has not been verified.
Right. We would hate to tell you one thing and it not be true. Because
not going
to
happen.
Yes.
So there are aerial views. We can see with our own eyes that, in fact, where the crash took place and the synagogue in West Bloomfield, Temple Israel, smoke rising from there on Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield Township. We'll give you more information as it becomes available. Before our next segment, in fact.
Yes.
Scheduled to be with us. We're very happy to see our old friend Stephen Polk. He is the president and CEO of Highgate LLC as we continue to broadcast live from the Detroit Economic Club, thanks to Steve Gregorian and our friend Jan, who always takes good care of us here, and DFCU for sponsoring the broadcast as well. Stephen Polk, you and Bobby, I know this, you might get annoying that I bring this up every time I see you, but I'm never going to forget the millions of dollars you gave to the Detroit Zoo for the Polk Penguin Conservation Center. I trust that's still going well.
It is going very well, Paul.
We appreciate that gift that your family gave to us. Tell us about Highgate LLC. I don't know anything about it.
Highgate is basically a family office that was created after the company, our Polk Company business, was sold, and the family continued on its legacy to continue investing in the local community, and the office is part of the extension of that.
You're a board member and sponsor also of this Detroit Economic Club. You're a staunch reporter, and you don't send your support around easily. There's a reason for that.
I'm very proud to be a supporter of the Economic Club here. I think their mission of keeping best possible speakers coming to the city and enlightening the folks in this community is really a wonderful, wonderful mission they have.
I see that, too, that you're keeping your hand in the Metro Detroit business community with Peninsula Composites, Offshore Spars as carbon fiber fabrication operation in Chesterfield Township?
Yep, little business up in Chesterfield Township. I got involved with that a couple of years ago now, and it's really exciting to see the opportunities that it's brought.
That's another business
that I invested in. We're trying to grow this business and substantially expanding what we're doing with work that supports some defense industry work, been a lot of marine industry work, and other general applications. So carbon fiber is really an amazing product to work with.
Oh, it is, and there's so many applications. And you're in the midst, I think, of planning your 25th Bayview Yacht Club sailboat race from Port Huron to Mackinac.
Yeah, that's a big milestone for me. 25 years ago, I'm going to be able to sail the race this summer in the same boat that I did 25 years ago. So
isn't that something?
It is.
And by the way, it was a while ago now, but in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, you were inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame.
No, that wasn't.
Not 2017, not you?
I am not in the Automotive Hall of Fame. I've been on the board. I was chairman of the Automotive Hall of Fame.
Okay, maybe that's what they meant when they wrote this down.
Someone did research a little differently.
Chairman. Anything could happen when research is handed to me, that's for sure. So you were chairman of the Automotive Hall of Fame. Good for you.
I was, yeah.
How's that going, by the way?
Automotive Hall of Fame is doing very well. It's a wonderful organization. They continue to honor the industry and the legacy of the industry here in Detroit and around the world. And they do a great place to visit out in Dearborn.
The last guy I remember being inducted, actually, was probably Keith Crane.
Oh, Keith, that was a while back. We're still regularly inducting every year. There's a full induction ceremony. And
well, put me back on the list for the press releases, because I've not been staying on top of that.
We'll make that happen, Paul.
Stephen, we appreciate you being here, President, CEO of Highgate LLC, Chair of the Detroit Regional Chamber Board of Directors. Stephen has really been highly successful in helping businesses achieve maximum results. And then remember his R.L. Polk & Company, where he served as Chairman, President, and CEO when the business was sold to IHS. My goodness, that was July of 2013, if this is right.
Yep. It's been a while now.
Yep. But you've kept very busy doing great things for the community.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. And my heart certainly best wishes and prayers for the people at Temple Israel.
Well, we all feel the same. And best to your lovely wife, Bobby. Okay, lots of information coming in. On Channel 4 a moment ago, they said the shooter was not apprehended and was not in custody, yet we're getting information from individuals saying that the shooter has been in custody. No injuries have been confirmed from Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard. Quote, nobody at the moment has been confirmed to be hurt except potentially the shooter. We're just trying to get as much information as we can. We are told that reunification with parents and their kids will be at JCC, the Jewish Center. Parents can go there to pick up their kids. And Marie Osborne is back with us, I'm told now, and ready with whatever more information she has. Marie?
Yeah, so just kind of a little bit of a timeline here into how this happened. This vehicle crashed into the synagogue, and that caused a fire, because if you're looking at any of the pictures that are being transmitted right now, you do see smoke coming from Temple Israel right now. That, we understand, is being caused by the fire that happened after the crash. Shots right. were fired. Security was on the scene.
They say security engaged the person, one of these reports, that right. the temple security engaged this person with gunfire.
Right. And we, you know, we have not at WJR been able to confirm that, but that is one of the reports that we have. Also, there are reports that there was a preschool in the synagogue, and that, in fact, the children were able to exit the synagogue through a back way, and they are now across the street and being cared for. And obviously parents are being notified and they're being cared for there. We don't have any reports of any injuries right now. Area schools and synagogues, churches are all on lockdown right now. We also see Gretchen Whitmer, Governor Whitmer, on X just a short time ago, saying, "We are working with Michigan State Police to get more information. Anti-Semitism and violence have no place in Michigan." So the governor says she is getting minute-by-minute reports on this and being updated. Temple Israel, again, we said this earlier, it's a Reform Jewish synagogue. They make up 1% of all the Reform Jews in North America, so this is a very vibrant community there. So we are still piecing together what happened. There are hundreds of police vehicles on the scene right now responding to this situation. And, of course, the national media now is on it as well.
Ambulances, if needed, are standing by. We've heard no reports of that need for those ambulances, and we pray that continues to be the case. But that's about all we have really completely mm-hmm. verified right now. Marie, if anything else comes up, you come on board.
Thank you. I will.
Marie Osborne, WJR News. As we are going to wrap up our broadcast, you know, it's not easy to do a broadcast while you're in the midst of a story like that, but we have given all the information that we can give that has been verified, and we'll continue to do that. Meanwhile, we close out with an old friend, a senior editor, business and columnist, and all-around good guy from The Great Detroit News, Mr. Daniel House.
Hey, buddy.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it sure has.
I haven't heard you say, "Hey, Dub."
Hey, Dub.
In a while.
Not dumb.
No, not dumb. Why do they call you dumb, Paul?
I
well,
don't
for good reason.
I call you dumb. I've never called you dumb, at least not to your face.
No, that's right. he calls me Dub, and he was the moderator for today's DEC event. I just watched David Burritt, who started our show before all of the other things that were going on. David Burritt, the CEO of U.S. Steel. How did that conversation with him go as the moderator, and what were maybe the big takeaways?
Well, I thought it went really well. I mean, we started out talking about, you know, he'd been here when they were trying to get approval for the acquisition by Nippon Steel. So he was a little circumspect that last time. But this time he could talk about what it was like to be in the Oval Office with President Trump. In the early days of his administration, to potentially give him approval and approve the deal, which he ultimately did after telling David that he was not in support of the original deal, that a Japanese company would own U.S. Steel of all things, but he relented . And it was interesting to hear him talk about how the president negotiates that you hear about, but you don't hear a lot from eyewitnesses. I thought that was pretty significant, and he's good at telling that story. He's one of those kind of guests that if you just have a few punch points, they kind of carry the conversation because there's enthusiasm, and he speaks in full paragraphs.
He told us when he was here 2 years ago, and thanks to the certainly good job Steve Gregorian does in getting these great guests and getting them back. He told us 2 years ago he was very concerned for the existence of U.S. Steel mm-hmm. and how we needed this deal done with Nippon Steel, and that the president was against it. A number of people were against it.
Steelworkers, leadership was against it big time.
But now they're singing a different tune.
Well, I mean, we've seen this before. We saw this in this town. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, Rouge Steel, which had been a unit of Ford Motor Company, then it was spun off into its own called Rouge Steel. It was traded on the exchanges. And then they were acquired by a Russian steel manufacturer because the Americans that were looking at it at the time, all they wanted to do was acquire it, take the customer book, as it were, and shut it down. And the Russians were willing to invest, and they were here for a while, I think, until things got dicey around the global financial meltdown. But, you know, we've seen situations where, you know, these assets have been grabbed up by foreign countries. Happened with China as well as NexTier up in up north, I think Saginaw. That was a former Delphi unit. They took that over. So this is a little different kettle of fish, and you know the Japanese are a very staunch ally of the United States, and Nippon Steel apparently is supposed to be one of the leading steel manufacturers in the world.
Well, and according to right now we are getting a report, police sources, so we can confirm and say this, that the shooter in West Bloomfield at Temple Israel is dead. The active shooter at Temple Israel is dead. And we're going to try to bring you the conversation on Channel 4 right now with Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard. Let's try to pick that up right now. Daniel House, I apologize, but if anyone understands this, you do. Here he is. Oh, we don't have it yet. Okay. So we're going to have it as soon as we can have it, because they were also saying earlier that there was concern there might have been other shooters and there was no way to know if there was just one.
Well, and given this environment we're in, with the nation is in with Iran, you just don't know. Anything like this happens, you don't know if there's connections. So I think everybody's on a bit of a hair trigger.
Hair trigger. We're doing our best to keep calm and give information that's only been verified. And the verified information from Michael Bouchard is the shooter, at least one of them, if there is only one, and we hope and pray that's the case, is dead. We got to go. Daniel House, it's been too long. We're going to get you back again, my friend, from the Detroit News. He's a great guy. Stand by for news and a JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. Marie will have more information. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith. We pray everyone's safe.